there are two seminal events that must be addressed in any history of Irish dance. One is the very first Ceilidh, that was in 1897, while the other took place almost 100 years later, an extraordinary performance that transformed Irish dancing into a truly worldwide phenomenon. Lorcan Clancy puts these two events into a cultural context in this short history of modern Irish dance.
The Gaelic League was founded in 1893 with the aim of preserving Irish culture and promoting a sense of national identity. At first, the primary focus of the group was the Irish language and literature, but an interest in traditional music and dance was also encouraged. Most branches of the Gaelic League held dance classes. It was the London branch that organised the league's first Ceilidh. It took place on the 30th of October 1897 at Bloomsbury Hall, not far from King's Cross Station. This first Ceilidh included an eclectic mix of dances. As well as traditional step dancing, there were waltzes and polkas set to Irish airs. The Ceilidh also saw the introduction of group or figure dancing, in which lines of men and women faced each other to perform a double jig. The mixture of old and new dance steps on show at the event caused some controversy. Some Gaelic League members thought the new steps were too far removed from native Irish dancing. The word Ceilidh originally meant a social gathering with music and storytelling that didn't necessarily include dance. In the early years of the 20th century, the word gradually took on the meaning we know today, as the dance element of these events became more and more prominent. The question of what constitutes traditional Irish dancing continued to be a source of debate. In 1930, the Gaelic League established the Irish Dancing Commission, an authority that would govern and regulate Irish dancing affairs. The commission drew up rules and established a register of qualified dance teachers and adjudicators. Throughout the 1920s and 30s, cultural activists argued against a new foreign influence on Ireland's dance halls, jazz. The Catholic Church was also opposed to jazz, regarding the provocative dancing of the late-night jazz halls as an incitement to sexual immorality. In 1935, the government bowed to public pressure and introduced the Public Dance Halls Act. This made it a finable offence to hold a dance without first getting a licence from the district court. The clergy successfully applied for dancing licences. Many parish halls were built all over the country, where dances would be supervised by priests. The Dance Halls Act made it virtually impossible to hold a dance without the sanction of church and state. It was meant to resist the supposed moral depravity of the jazz halls and protect Ireland's dance tradition from foreign influences. Ironically, some believe that the act actually marked the end of some cultural traditions, as it made events like crossroads dances effectively illegal. From the 1930s on, the popularity of Irish dancing ebbed and flowed, alternating between periods of declining interest and revival.
Before we get down to the real business of the evening, the voting, I would like to introduce to you an exciting and uniquely Irish performance, specially commissioned for tonight's show.
Almost 100 years after the first Ceilidh in London, the popularity of Irish dance was given an unprecedented boost following the Interval Act at the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest.
A full-bodied orchestral dance piece involving traditional Irish dancers.
Ladies and gentlemen, River Dance.
Riverdance placed this cultural tradition on an international stage, fueling the popularity of Irish dancing all over the world.